This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Today, our special guest is Allison Rivera. Allison is with the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, and today we focus on a new crop insurance program for cow-calf producers. That in a moment. First, Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack.
We started with a handful of countries and a few partners. In a handful of innovation sprints, we were pleased to announce that in this COP we had reached over 600 partners. We now have $17 billion in commitments and investment. This is nearly more than double what it was in COP 27. The number of partners at COP 27 was somewhere in the neighborhood of 275. So there's been a significant increase in the number of partners in interest.
It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. We're joined today by Allison Rivera. Allison is Executive Director, Government Affairs, National Cattlemen's Beef Association in Washington, D.C. Allison, welcome back to the show.
Always glad to join you.
Okay, let's. I'll tell you that I saw a headline on this and had never heard of it. So I'm guessing this might be a new program, the Weaned Calf Risk Protection Program. I guess so new that we haven't even stuck an acronym with it yet.
Well, you know we love our acronyms in this town. Yeah, absolutely. So information about this came out about maybe a month and a half ago. So very new. I think this just goes along the lines of in this space where NCBA has been trying to work with USDA, not only for more tools in the toolbox in the risk management space for cattle producers, but specifically maybe more, you know, cow-calf producers. And again, a lot of the work we've been doing is trying to educate producers of the programs that are out there that are available. You know, there's a lot of programs out there under that risk management title. And so we just want to make sure that producers know that there are programs available. This program is very new, so new that we are going to have those who are selling this new pilot program come speak to the Ag and Food Policy Committee meeting at our convention, our NCBA convention in late January, so that producers have the ability to ask very specific questions about this. It is a four-state pilot program, and, you know, I think that it being a new tool specifically for the cow-calf producers out there, we're excited that, you know, there's a new tool out there. So looking forward to kind of diving deeper into this program and making sure that everybody has the correct information on it.
Okay, so what's covered in this, and why would it be different? I mean, it seems obvious, but why would this be different from other programs that are already out there?
Sure. I think it's specifically an insurance option for our cow-calf producers. Again, four states designed to protect the profitability of their spring calving. We know that weather is going to continue. We know that bad weather is going to continue. And so I think this is just another opportunity for that risk management. The protection would ensure that producers against their calves declining in price due to decreased weaning weight caused by things like drought, which we, you know, right now we're seeing a pretty bad drought in the South, in Louisiana, Alabama, Mississippi areas. So excessive moisture, hail, wind, frost, insects, disease, you name it. So as we continue to face more environmental challenges, hard winters in particular, flooding, this is just going to be another tool to protect those cow-calf producers.
And once again, you mentioned four states. What four states are eligible for this pilot program, if you will?
Sure. Colorado, Nebraska, South Dakota, and Texas. And that was a very important question. So, you know, I'm sure a lot of your listeners were keen on what states those are. And again, Colorado, Nebraska, South Dakota, and Texas. And again, in a pilot form, you know, USDA will gather information about how the program is being used, whether it's working, and then as they do with a lot of pilot programs, if it's successful, then we can work with them to expand the coverage for further states.
Okay. One of the other things that, if we're not completely sure about all the details on this, I guess it's safe to say we're not completely sure about the details of the next Farm Bill, even though we've got a one-year extension for the 2018 Farm Bill, giving us a little bit of reliability, if you will. We still don't have a new Farm Bill, do we?
Right. So we obviously have a Farm Bill extension until September 30th of 2024. You know, it's always difficult to get bigger pieces of legislation across the finish line as we enter an election year, which we will be entering in 2024. There are some issues that Republicans and Democrats are still, you know, having some difference of opinions on within the Farm Bill. And just a reminder to your members that the Farm Bill does include SNAP, and that will probably be around 85% of this Farm Bill. A lot of the sticking points do fall under that bucket of the overall Farm Bill. And so we're continuing to kind of hear some of that, some of those rumblings of difference of opinions there. But as we move forward, you know, what I do want your listeners to know is that NCBA is going to continue to push for, you know, the support and strengthening of risk management programs like we just discussed, and for those disaster programs that are so vital for our cattle producers, especially as you and I are speaking and we're moving right into the dead of winter. You know, we're going to continue to push for those programs and push to get a new Farm Bill done before this extension ends September 30th of 2024. So that's still our main goal.
Now, we also are talking about a Congress that is anything but normal, anything but average from what we've seen in the past. As a matter of fact, some would say we've seen a lot of volatility in this Congress. So a couple of things here. One, we've got some members who've already come out and said, members of the Freedom Caucus, we're not voting for a Farm Bill. So at that point, you can pretty much take their votes off of the of what you could whip up. So I throw that in because is it at a point where you tried to build coalitions among the other members who would or could be voting for that?
Absolutely. I mean, I think that's been our goal since the beginning. And I think there's a lot of very intelligent members of Congress that know that that's what they have to do. And specifically, you know, leadership. There are, just as a reminder to your listeners, there are plenty of Democrats in Congress. You know, they're obviously not members of the Freedom Caucus that do want to support a Farm Bill and do support agriculture and do support cattle producers. And NCBA works directly with those members. If you are supportive of cattle producers and the work that they're out there doing, then we're going to find a way to work with you. And so I think that also goes back to a statement I made a few minutes ago about the Farm Bill, including SNAP dollars, right? You have a lot of Democrats in Congress that want to see those SNAP dollars move forward and want to see a Farm Bill pass because of that portion of it. So yes, it's going to take bipartisan effort. It's going to take some compromises to get it done. But if we lose some of those Republican votes that you mentioned, I certainly believe we can pick them up on the Dem side.
And you can't walk away from the conversation without admitting the fact that we've got, what, 200 members who've never voted for or voted, had an opportunity to vote on a Farm Bill.
Absolutely. I mean, half of what we spend our time here at NCBA doing, not just educating members on the priorities that our members have for this Farm Bill, but just educating members on what a Farm Bill is, educating their staff. Once upon a time, a long, long time ago, Tony, I was one of those staffers working on a Farm Bill on the Hill and didn't know all the ins and outs or all the different groups that would come knocking on the door with requests in a Farm Bill. So you know, and it's important that NCBA gets in there and lets these members of Congress know why a farm bill is important and why we've got to get it across the finish line.
One thing that's not a part of that farm bill, electronic logging devices. You and I have always got to talk transportation at some point in time. ELD, as we roll into the end of the year, anything happening there?
So what I wanted to let your listeners know is just a reminder that the electronic logging device exemption for livestock haulers does reside in language for funding the government, right? And so as we've seen these short-term funding bills, as again, you referenced, Congress is a little bit nutty right now. We sit in this ELD delay until January 19th. At that point, Congress will need to do something else with that bill language. Again, it's become an item that I think the language has existed both in the House and Senate bills for the last couple of years, and it should remain in place. But I always just like to give haulers and producers a sense of what that timeline looks like. So you'll be hearing from us again before that January 19th deadline. But for now, that exemption is in place until the 19th. And again, just for your listeners, Tony, we're doing a lot at NCBA in the transportation space. There's a lot of stuff out there, from speed limiters to truck weights. And just so your listeners know, we are keeping the pedal to the metal and going to push back on bad transportation regs that negatively affect our haulers, and continuing to try to push forward with things like increased truck weights.
Earlier, you mentioned the Cattle Industry Convention and NCBA trade show that's coming up at the end of January, first part of February in Florida. What do we need to know about that, and where can we find more information?
So go to ncba.org. We're going to be in Orlando. Who doesn't want to go down to Orlando when it's cold, where everyone else is pretty much coming from? We're going to go down to the Sunshine State and have a really great convention. A lot of great policy work will be done down there, but we're also going to have some fun, and it's great networking for everybody. And we'd love for everyone to meet us there.
Okay. Allison Rivera is Executive Director, Government Affairs, National Cattlemen's Beef Association, on today's Agribusiness Report.
Let's talk about logos. What's the value of a good mark? Well, when it comes to the seal of cotton, it's pretty big. Introduced in 1973, the seal of cotton trademark has planted itself in consumers' headspaces. In fact, 94% of consumers say the seal helps them easily identify cotton products. 85% say they associate the seal with softness, comfort, and durability. 40 years of cotton research and promotion really adds up. You grow the cotton? The Cotton Research Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
CattleCon 24 is marching onward to Orlando, January 31st to February 2nd, 2024. Have your say in the future of the industry, network with fellow producers, or connect with friendly faces. Plus, the NCBA trade show will be on site with over 385,000 square feet of the latest and greatest in the cattle business to help your operation stay competitive and sustainable. Register today and learn more at convention.ncba.org.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Again, our special guest, Allison Rivera with the National Cattlemen's Beef Association.
The Texas Corn Producers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit texascorn.org and become a member today.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at deltapine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
This is the Agribusiness Report. You can learn more about the Cattle Industry Convention and NCBA Trade Show, convention.ncba.org.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
Let's talk about logos. What's the value of a good mark? Well, when it comes to the seal of cotton, it's pretty big. Introduced in 1973, the seal of cotton trademark has planted itself in consumers' headspaces. In fact, 94% of consumers say the seal helps them easily identify cotton products. 85% say they associate the seal with softness, comfort, and durability. 40 years of cotton research and promotion really adds up. You grow the cotton? The Cotton Research Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
If you grow cotton, you're certainly painfully aware of this.
Demand is relatively soft compared to last year.
USDA Outlook Board Chairman Mark Jekanowski some numbers. First, the U.S. cotton crop projected to come in at only 12.8 million bales, down 12% from last year. Marketing that cotton could be hard if demand is soft, and that's true. USDA forecasting that U.S. mills are only going to use 1.9 million bales of cotton.
Down at levels last seen in the late 1880s.
Not the 1980s, the 1880s. So demand for cotton is down here in the U.S., but also
there's concerns about China demand, global demand tied to the general overall health of the global economy.
And so cotton prices are expected to languish in the 77-cent a pound range.
Down fairly substantially from last year,
when cotton was bringing an average of just under 85 cents a pound. Gary Crawford, Washington.